Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Kingdom of God is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to this edition of The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. I also serve the Reina Mission and St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, Scotland. I'd like to invite you along to any or all of our services, and I know you'll receive a warm welcome. But if you don't live in those areas, why not go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory button, and find the nearest congregation to where you live. I encourage you to go and pay them a visit. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank you for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK, because without your prayers and without your financial assistance, we wouldn't be able to carry on this ministry of bringing the love and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ to people around the world. We deeply appreciate your prayers and your assistance. Today, we're very pleased to welcome Dr. Sigurd Grindheim. He is professor of New Testament, and he's taught in Norway and Africa and the U.S. He's currently in Cambridge working on a new commentary on the book of Hebrews, and today we're going to be discussing with him the Kingdom of God, because he has recently published a book entitled Living in the Kingdom of God. Dr. Grindheim, welcome.
Thank you.
It's lovely to have you with us, and so many times we as Christians talk about the Kingdom of God, or we read it in the Scriptures, but what does the term actually mean?
The Kingdom of God is the world the way God wants it to be. It's a wonderful term that Jesus uses to explain to us the nature of the gift that he is bringing to us. Imagine a world in which God's will always happens, a world where God truly rules and his rule is followed by people. It's a fantastic world to live in. It's a world where everyone constantly lives according to the golden rule, do to others what you want them to do to you. Imagine what it would be like to live in a place like that. People would always go out of their way to do good deeds to you. You would no longer have to be afraid of anything. You could have the most wonderful relationships with every single human being that you meet, because everyone would be filled with love, and there would not be any animosity or hostility or conflict between anyone. The term Kingdom of God in the biblical languages really means both the kingly rule of God and the territory in which God rules. So the Kingdom of God is the state of affairs where God rules, as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done. It is when God rules in the world, and when God's rule creates a new community and a new society that is according to his will.
Now, we live in a world which very seldom lives under a monarchy. I mean, here in the UK, we still have a queen and we understand the monarchy. But so much of the world is dominated by democracy that we don't really like kingdoms anymore, do we? So how can we bring this idea to a world that really doesn't understand what it is to live under a king?
Well, it's interesting that you would say that. I guess the idea of a king is becoming more and more antiquated. But the idea of a good rule is something I think that more and more people are crying out for. all kinds of political discourse is a conversation about what is the best kind of rule. And you always, or often you get the sense that people are thinking, if we could just get the right ruler or the right form of rule, then the world will become a much better place. So I think this idea is extremely relevant to us, because we see a world that is being ruled very poorly. We see a world that is full of ethnically motivated conflict and violence, and we see people crying out for a world order that would bring reconciliation, that would bring peace, that would bring harmony, and that is precisely what God is promising us in His Word that He is giving us. When God is coming to establish His rule, it is the time when the weapons of war will be transformed to tools of construction and cooperation. It is the time when enmity will be changed for friendship. And I think that is the kind of rule that we are all yearning for.
Now, you mentioned the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus prays, "Thy kingdom come." So does that mean God's kingdom has not come yet?
In the words of Jesus, we see that He is talking about this in two different ways. He does teach us to pray, "Your kingdom come," the implication being that it is not yet here. He also tells His disciples that He will not drink of the fruit of the vine until He drinks it new in the kingdom of God. Which means that He is looking forward to the day when it will come. But He also tells people, when He is casting out evil spirits, that if it is by the finger of God that He is casting out the evil spirits, then the kingdom of God is upon you. And He tells people also that the kingdom of God is in your midst. So that means the kingdom of God has already come, because Jesus brings the kingly rule of God in His own person. Jesus brings a new reality. He brings a new rule. Which means that when Jesus enters, evil must flee, which is precisely what we witnessed in Jesus' ministry. The evil spirits had to flee. Sickness was healed. People that suffered from various ailments became well, because where Jesus came, evil had to go. And God's good rule was established. A new reality was present, where the peace and reconciliation of God was ruling in people's hearts and in the fellowship that was created among people. So that when the church was formed, we read in the book of Acts of a whole new community that people in the past could only dream about. A community where people shared all their resources, where people came together in a genuine fellowship. This was not a new idea in the book of Acts, but what was new was that this kind of utopia could be something other than just a dream. It could be reality, where the Holy Spirit was poured out into the hearts of people. And when God ruled in people's lives, then it was possible to see a whole new community take form, a community where there was genuine brotherhood among people, where there was genuine fellowship, where there was genuine peace, where there was genuine love, where people came together in a whole new way.
When we think of Jesus, we think of him telling parables. And so often he introduced parables by saying the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like. Again, how does the use of parables help us try and understand the kingdom of God?
Several of Jesus' parables are about entrance into the kingdom of God. Who gets to take part in this wonderful gift that is the kingly rule and the kingdom of God? And what we see in some of these parables is that the people that you would be, that you would expect to be a part of this, they ended up on the outside because they were too busy or they were too preoccupied with other things. But Jesus is telling us in his parables to send out the invitation to the kingdom, to people that are idling on the streets, to people that are both good and bad. In other words, the invitation goes out to all kinds of people, people that you would never expect to see in good company. And that's also what Jesus demonstrates with his own practices. Jesus was constantly criticized for the company that he kept. People thought that he should spend more time with pious and important people, and they criticized him for hanging out with sinners and tax collectors and people of a bad reputation. But they were the people that Jesus had time for, because he told us that he had come for the sinners and not for the righteous. He had come as a physician for those who were sick and not for those who were well. So he came to bring into this kingdom all those people that were far away because they had messed up their lives in all kinds of ways, because they had gone to be far, far away from God and his will and his kingdom. But Jesus came to seek them out and to bring the gifts of God to them, to bring the new reality, the new creation, the new gift of God's kingly rule. It was for those who had not deserved it, for those who had rebelled against God, for those who had violated his will, for those who had stood against him. But his message was a message of reconciliation. It was a message of healing. It was a message of peace for those who were far away. It is so beautifully illustrated, you know, in the parable of the prodigal son, the son who had gone to his father and said that he wanted his inheritance so that he could leave his family and travel far away and waste away everything that he had been given until he reached rock bottom in his life. He had wasted everything, and all he had left was the memory of what he had destroyed. And he thought about coming back to his father and started on his way. And in the parable in Luke chapter 15, we read that when he was still far away, the father came running towards him. It's a completely unprecedented act that a man of such wealth, of such power, and of such honor would debase himself to go running through the streets and look like a stupid little child. But it was so that he could embrace this rebellious, defiant son and bring him back into his family and into his estate. This is the kingdom of God. It embraces those who have gone far away. It includes those who have no business there. But this is the nature of the grace of Jesus Christ. This is the nature of his forgiveness. And this is the nature of his kingdom. It has its doors wide open for those who have no business to belong to this kingdom according to our natural way of thinking.
You mentioned this natural way of thinking and Jesus' audience getting things wrong about the kingdom of God. But I suspect we're probably not any different. I mean, what do we believe today about the kingdom of God that you just can't find in the Bible and is probably flat out wrong?
One common misunderstanding that I run into is that the kingdom of God is something that is only in the future, and that the church is some kind of waiting room where we are given a ticket to go to heaven and to the kingdom of God after we die. Right now, all that we can do is to wait for it to appear when Jesus comes again. But as I said, Jesus teaches us that the kingdom is something that will come more fully and more gloriously in the future. But it is also something that is already here. It is also something that we experience through the new community that is a reality in the church. When Jesus teaches us about the church in Matthew chapter 18, he teaches us how the church can put into practice the heavenly reality already while we are living on this earth. He is teaching his disciples that when they forgive people their sins, the sins will be forgiven in heaven. In other words, what we do as a church here on earth, what we do as Jesus's family here on earth, is to put into practice the heavenly kingdom here and now. When he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said that he would not drink of this fruit of the vine until he drank it again, or until he drank it new, in the kingdom of God. This shows us that when we come together as a church to celebrate the Lord's Supper, we have a preview of what the heavenly kingdom is like. When the church comes together to eat and drink the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ, it is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. In the Bible, when we see descriptions of our final salvation, it is often a picture of a wedding banquet, because that is the happiest event that we can imagine. Personally, I recently was married, and because my wife is Ethiopian and I am Norwegian and we have family all around, we celebrated our wedding three times, once in Belgium, once in Norway, and once in Ethiopia, because there was so much happiness to go around and we wanted it to share it with as many people as possible. So We did it three times. When the Bible describes our heavenly salvation, it often uses this image of the happiness of a wedding and a wedding banquet. When the food and the drink are shared generously and abundantly, you know, Jesus, in the Gospel of John, he performed his first sign at a wedding, very appropriately, because in that way, he showed that he was bringing the new reality of salvation, by making water into wine and by bringing the joy that is appropriate in this context. This joy has been given to us through the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. And it is shared among us in fellowship with Jesus Christ. When Jesus was walking on earth, he was famous and also hated for his meal fellowships, because he included people that were not supposed to be included in these meals. And he was being accused of being a glutton and a wine drinker. So Jesus clearly was someone who knew how to have a good time. And he included people in his happiness and in his festivities, people that were despised, people that were looked down upon because they were notorious sinners, notorious immoral people, notorious for their corruption. These were people that Jesus included in his meals, and in this way he showed us the reality of the new kingdom that he has given to us. And when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he gave us a way to also make this new reality manifest among us. He gave us a meal in which we could tangibly experience his gift of forgiveness, because he gave us his body and his blood that he shed for the forgiveness of our sins, so that by participating in this meal, we could receive his gift of salvation and forgiveness by eating and drinking his body and blood. And we could share this gift with each other as the church and the people of God, where we come together all on the same level. When we receive the Lord's Supper, there are no status distinctions. There is no one who is favored above others, but we are all equal. We come as sinners and we receive the same gift. And there is enough for everyone who comes to Jesus and wants to receive his forgiveness. And that is the nature of the kingdom of God. And that kingdom is present among us here when we share the forgiveness of Jesus. When we receive his grace through his word and through baptism and through the Lord's Supper, and when we share this forgiveness and these gifts with one another, when we forgive one another, when we are reconciled with one another, we create a new society. Or God creates a new society, it's better to say, because he is the one who empowers us to share his forgiveness. A number of years ago, I was at a mission conference in the Netherlands, and people participated at this mission conference from countries all over Europe. This was in 1993, when there was a terrible war going on in what was then Yugoslavia. The people of Serbia and the people of Croatia were in a terrible war with each other. But at this conference, I met a group of people that had come from Yugoslavia, and I was allowed to participate in their prayer meeting. And at that meeting, I saw people from Croatia and from Serbia praising God together. And I talked to two of them, and I asked them, how is it possible for you to come together like this in peace? And these two young men, one of them was from Serbia and one of them was from Croatia, they put their arms around each other and they looked at me and they said, at home, our peoples are trying to kill each other, but we are brothers in Jesus Christ. He has made us one. That is the kingdom of God. That is already a reality when the forgiveness and the reconciliation in Jesus Christ becomes manifest among God's people in this world today.
The example you just gave is amazing, but unfortunately, so many times we in the church don't live that way. In fact, we mess up God's kingdom. How can you, I suppose, give us some hints how God might use us to better expand his kingdom, like those two you just were talking about?
Yeah, like we were talking about earlier, I think one of the misunderstandings about the kingdom is that we think of the kingdom as something we as a church are building. In the Bible, you never see that expression being used. The disciples do not build the kingdom. The disciples proclaim the kingdom. And the distinction is an important one because it is God who brings the kingdom. It is God who builds the kingdom. It is Jesus who makes it happen. Our assignment is to proclaim it. Our assignment is to be witnesses of what Jesus has done. And it begins with receiving the gift from Jesus for ourselves. It begins with receiving Jesus's forgiveness in our own life. It begins with recognizing how much he has done for us by dying for our sins and giving us his grace and his forgiveness. And it continues through our testimony of what we have experienced, what Jesus has done for us. And when we are witnesses, when we testify to what he has done for us, then we are able also to extend that forgiveness to other people. Paul, in his second letter to the Corinthians, which is a letter of reconciliation, he begins by talking to the Corinthians about the reconciliation that Jesus has brought between us and God. And then he talks about the reconciliation between us as people that is so necessary in the world today. This is not something that we can bring about. This is not something that we can build. It is something that God brings about when we come to him and we realize that we are all sinners in need of his forgiveness. When we realize, as Jesus talks about in the parable in Matthew chapter 18, that we are the ones who have been forgiven the 10,000 talents, the incredible, uncountable sum of money, which motivates us to forgive the petty sums of money that are owed to us by others.
Dr. Seeger Grindheim, we thank you very much for helping to help us understand the kingdom of God and our place in it. We wish you God's richest blessing and thank you for being our guest.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.